Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Hey, you're listening to the PHP podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.07.24.
Good job.
I'm one of your hosts, Eric Van Johnson, and with me is John Congdon.
Who will not do the show unless Eric is here.
This podcast focuses on the PHP programming language, web development, and the larger PHP community, and the general life of being a developer. And of course, we're going to talk about our company, PHP Architect, the magazine, the books, and I think we even do a conference from time to time. We might mention it. I don't know. We record every Thursday around 3 p.m. Pacific time. And the podcast is made a little better thanks to our partners over at Honey Badger. Honey Badger helps you deploy with confidence and be your team's DevOps hero by combining uptime, error, and performance monitoring in one simple platform. It's free to get started. It only takes a few minutes. Be the hero your team needs. Suit up at honeybadger.io. We will talk about them a little more a little later. If you don't watch the stream live, and you only listen to the audio podcast, we'd love to have you join us. You can join us live on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/phparch and click on the little notification bell so you know when we're going live. Occasionally, we'll do other shows. And if you're wondering why you would do that, why, you say?
Because why?
The audio version is so crisp and clean. It's not.
It's the same
because you can partake in the actual show. Over here in our Discord, you might see our little Discord people scrolling. Wait, what is it? This way?
That way. Yeah.
Scrolling that way.
That way.
On the side. And yeah, you can participate. Give us feedback. Let us know what you're thinking. I actually have a question for Discord. So I'm looking for your input today. And
are you sure you want their input?
That's all the energy I have, John.
Right. You fought through well.
I appreciate that.
Considering.
Yes, I mean, I am feeling a little under the weather today, honestly, and it's not good because you and I are traveling on Sunday, so I definitely need to bounce back at some point, but man, dragging ass. Boy. Yeah. I'll get out of it. I'll figure it out.
You better take the next 2 days, do nothing, sleep, hydrate, be ready to go.
Unfortunately, doing nothing is really not an option, but see how it goes. Got a lot to talk about, John. Yes, fun and exciting things, some new stuff. And we also have a guest backstage.
We do. Why didn't you let me know?
Did you? Yeah, well, you know. Not particularly somebody I like so much, but yeah, he's been hanging around in the studio here. And I'm just like, fine, man, fine. Get a mic. Let's go. And yeah, let's bring him in here. He's not even looking at us right now. Let's see what happens here. Yeah, no, take your time. Yeah, we're not doing a podcast or anything.
Oh, what?
Oh, what? What? You're just looking at your ocean view out your back window there.
I was enjoying it.
Ben Ramsey.
Hello, Ben.
I'm sitting at the end of a dock. This is my friend, Jeff.
Is this supposed to be Tom? Isn't Tom everyone's friend?
Oh, from MySpace, yes.
MySpace. Yes. Yes, of course.
So you're sitting on the dock of the bay. I like it.
He's in my top five friends.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, is
Sarah in our Discord? OFFS in our Discord. And Chris, how y'all doing?
And Jeffrey's in there too.
Joe, was Jeffrey? Did I miss Jeffrey? Hey, Jeffrey.
Yep, you did.
About them. And Duck Nizzle. I always got to be very careful. I feel like you're trying to catch me something. Duck, try to be careful on yours. It's not the real Ben Ramsey. He's AI generated.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell my eyes don't quite look right.
His hand does that weird thing, like when he
when he goes to pick up the monkey.
Extra fingers in my hand.
And you're saying you weren't. And before the show, you were saying you're not witty. Come on. That was good.
Well, something came across the board and we were looking at it. This has actually been on the board, our Trello board, for a while now. And we're like, you know what? I want to have Ben on the show and ask him why he hates PHP so much, why he's trying to make it fail. So, you know, here we are.
Ben. Well, you know, PHP is a fractal of bad design.
So, in a good way.
So, yeah, this came across, in all seriousness, something did come across our Trello board, and we're like, hey, yeah, let's call Ben and ask about it. I thought it was an interesting thing. So you submitted an RFC, and it is for to update the PHP license. So, right. Is PHP no longer going to be open source? Are you trying to take away the open sourceness from PHP, Ben?
I am trying to assign the copyright to myself so I can make all the money that PHP makes.
I do it.
No, you missed the underlying, the small print at the bottom of this email.
No. PHP is an open source project and will always remain open source. This is just a way to clarify that. And really, it's to fix a long-standing kind of issue where the license that it's under kind of causes a little bit of confusion and some problems for distributors or for packagers. And we can get into that if you want to dive into it. To. Yeah.
I would like to, mostly because I don't know enough about licenses in general. I just like, I create a new project. I'm like, all right, pick Apache or BSD or, you know, whatever I'm feeling in that moment.
I guess.
Whatever you're feeling at that moment.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. No. It's like, there's something there.
Right now I'm feeling MIT. Right now I'm feeling BSD 2 clause. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't want to jump right into it and start talking about it unless you, like, maybe you had other stuff you wanted to hit on before.
I guess just in case people don't know who you are, which would be weird, but I guess we should kind of introduce you a little bit and make sure everybody understands that you are the man who stole an election from me. I think that's what you're best known for, Ben. I don't really have done anything else in the community.
I bought myself a trophy to commemorate that. I wish I had it next to me.
Yeah, if you know us and you don't know Ben, you're doing something wrong in the PHP community. I mean, I'm honored, but you're doing something wrong. I think the coolest thing, at least in my eyes, that you're known for, obviously you're a release manager, and now you're like a mentor release manager for other release managers. But I think the coolest thing you do is you're like the person who started the PHPC Mastodon server, correct?
Right. Yeah, the Mastodon server kind of came out of a project that we called PHP Community Foundation. And it goes way back to an IRC channel that was #PHPC. Mm-hmm. And we've just kind of continued that tradition on. There used to be like a website, and there used to be other things kind of around that. And over the years, different projects have come out of it. I think I don't want to like claim that we started any of these projects, but the people who started these projects got to know each other through their connections within the PHPC channel on IRC. One of those was the PHP mentoring project. Another one, I believe, was PHP women. They got started kind of out of that. There were a bunch of user groups that got started out of that community. So, and then we've kind of migrated on to Mastodon, phpc.social, and we also have a Discord server as well.
And all super active too.
It's pretty active. I think it's getting a lot more active. We just kind of hit that magical 1,000 people on Discord, and now the server can be shown to, you know, to the public or something. It's in the directory. So we've started getting a lot more people joining.
Oh, I mean, we've been there for a while. So just
I know it's been a long. We weren't really like focused on trying to invite a lot of people and get a lot of people there, but it was never a secret. We wanted everyone to join who wanted to join, but it was never something we actively promoted.
I actually credit that IRC channel for getting me out of Florida and to San Diego.
Oh, cool.
So there you go. Another terrible thing you've done for the PHP community.
No, it was, I went to PHP Tech 2010, found out about community, joined the IRC, had great conversations in there, and felt comfortable leaving the place I was working for at the time. And
very cool.
That's the hard part. You know, a lot of us start out solo developers, and I was lucky to be where I was at. Didn't think I could go anywhere else. My wife kept encouraging me, you know, go to the bigger city. And in that case, it was Orlando, and find something. I'm like, no, I've got a job. I'm happy. Met all you great people and realized I'm not alone and I can do other things.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things I try to impress on people is to get involved in the community in some way. I think when you make those connections, you start to grow as a person, you start to grow as a developer. Even if you're not learning a lot of technical things, you're at least, you know, making those connections. And if you're unhappy where you are, or even if you're happy now, but you could want to branch out and do something new, you can use that network that you've built to, you know, to find another opportunity somewhere.
Exactly.
And not only that, because I fancy myself a little bit of a community guy, but in, like I said, you have been a release manager, which you see, I have not, but you also have some pretty popular packages out there, right? I mean, if anybody uses UUID in the PHP world, there's a very strong possibility they're using your package.
Yeah. And if you use Laravel, there's an even stronger possibility that you're using my package. If you're using UUIDs in Laravel, because it's included there. So yeah, I'm actually really kind of honored that Taylor added it as part of Laravel. I think he did that back in 2016 or so. I remember having a conversation with him about it. I think he was just trying to check whether or not I was sticking around and not going anywhere, because that would be bad.
It's weird how that is so important.
It is.
Maintainers, like, people open these packages and they're often very useful, but then things change over the years and then they're gone. And
right, exactly.
It's frustrating.
We actually had that conversation with a client today talking about our mobile developer was looking to use another package. And their question was, well, like, what happens if they decide to stop supporting the package? I'm like, well, unfortunately, I haven't looked at the license yet. I'm not sure if it's an open source project. I know there's a licensing fee to use it in a commercial product. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's not open source, you can't fork it. But that's, you know, I had to have that conversation with them. Like, well, the reality of it is there's no way of ensuring that regardless, whether it's proprietary, matter of fact, more so if it's a proprietary solution, right? At least with open source solutions, there's typically the option of forking it, maintaining it yourself if the maintainers decide they don't want to handle it anymore.
Yeah.
We had that. And it was funny. It's like, you guys may not understand how much your stack is open source. In theory, it can always go away. You know, like maintainers can always go away. And we've seen pretty serious turnover on the maintainers of PHP internals over the years.
Right.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things I've been thinking about a lot lately regarding open source licensing is that a lot of the industry right now wants to talk about open source like it is a supply chain.
Right.
But it's a supply chain that they are not putting aren't putting anything into it. They are not warranted on anything in this supply chain. It can go away at any time. And I think a lot of people don't really think about that or realize that. So the best thing to do is to make sure that, yeah, check the license, make sure that it is open source. You're able to fork it, copy it, make modifications, redistribute it if you want. And that's really where open source shines. It's not in the ability to get that package and, or get that software and use it for free. It's in the ability to modify that software and to use it however you want. Mm-hmm. And so when, if someone were to disappear, or even if they didn't disappear and you just want to maintain control over those pieces of your architecture, you're able to do that.
Well, and that the big piece being able to contribute back. Like, I need it to work this way for me.
I was going to say, yeah.
Give it back.
Right.
That was my thing about when I was in the enterprise, and you know, open source was like a very dirty word back then. And I'm like, you guys aren't seeing the benefits of this. Like, we could be as involved with the solution as we want it, as we want to be. Like, we can be the contributors of any solution that we decide to embrace. Like, it's not, you guys are looking at it from the wrong angle.
It's not just free labor.
Right.
And kind of along those same lines, this is why things like the PHP Foundation has been so vital, because there are so many companies out there with PHP specifically who have a business because of PHP, but they don't contribute back to the code base, don't contribute back financially, they don't contribute back. Like, there's no, it's very much, you know, like John and I's relationship. He just takes, doesn't contribute anything.
You're not supposed to tell people that. You signed an NDA, damn it.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways a company can contribute to something that they get a lot of value out of, and I think that's a key thing here. Companies are getting lots of value out of open source software. It's increasing the value of their products. So they need to think about seriously giving some of that, or putting some of that back into it in some way. And I think one of the biggest ways to do that is to, you know, hire employees and then pay them to work on it. You know,
yep.
Different companies do that for, you know, different software packages or libraries or whole suites of software. And then some of them do it for programming languages. I don't want to call out companies, but it's hard not to do so with this. But there is a company that uses a programming language created by Facebook called Hack, and they only use Hack now, and they employ, in order to make sure that Hack stays working and our HHVM stays working and all, they've employed a group of people to just work full time on HHVM. And I would love for that to have been PHP instead of working on HVM full time.
That's a great.
Are you saying that's currently happening, or are you talking about in the past?
I'm saying that's currently happening.
Currently happening today. Yeah. So I want to get back to HHVM specifically. Let's take a moment and hear from our partners over at Honey Badger real fast.
When your app breaks in production, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for the next hour. That's where Honey Badger comes in. Honey Badger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur, and helps you respond instantly when your systems go down. When you need to dig deeper, Honey Badger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information you need. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honey Badger is the best tool to gain real-time insights into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
Appreciate you. Okay, so interesting topic of Hack and HHVM. Just curious of your thoughts on this, Ben. I think I've asked you in the past, John, how much do you contribute to the push forward in the PHP programming language to the introduction of Hack? Because I can tell you from where I sat and I was definitely a consumer, more of a consumer back then. I saw PHP, you know, stagnated at, you know, 5.6, I think, forever and a day, and just didn't seem like it was going to take the necessary moves to push forward. Obviously, there was the failed 6 attempt, but, you know, whatever. And then Hack came along, and it appeared to me like somebody said, okay, we like this concept of this language, but they're not moving forward. We're going to fork it. We're going to move it forward. And then all of a sudden, you saw the programming language itself start to get its, I don't know, get itself together, but like refocus and say, okay, let's push the language forward as well.
Well, I think, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I wasn't involved at Facebook when, with all of this. I never worked for Facebook, but in 2010, I was invited out with a group of people to have a preview of what they were calling at the time Hip Hop for PHP. And I don't, I don't know if you remember, but back way back, like in 2009, if you scrolled down to the bottom of Facebook, they had like a little copyright symbol. And if you were to hover over that, it would show you like a tooltip of what server it was running on and version of PHP and that kind of stuff. But it would say HPHP, which they used to mean something like hyper PHP, I think. But because of the PHP licensing clauses, which I'll talk about in a little bit, they couldn't use the name PHP for a product derived from PHP. So they changed it to Hip Hop for PHP. We went in and looked at that just before they open sourced it. It seemed really interesting. What it was at the time was a transpiler to convert PHP to essentially C++ code. And then that would be compiled into a single binary. I think that that became unsustainable from a developer standpoint because it took a while to compile and developers would have to, they'd write PHP code and then they'd have to wait for it to compile. And I think that that was getting a little bit cumbersome. So they went back to more of an interpreter model, which was the introduction of HHVM. I'm not sure when Hack became part of that. I know that others that are in the Discord could probably answer those questions a lot better than I can. But
I think
Sarah would be able to answer those questions. Let's see, when did PHP 7 come out? That was 2016-ish, somewhere around there.
Sounds about right, yeah.
But leading up to that, you're right that, you know, HHVM, I think, was what was pushing that forward. Not so much the idea of forking the language into Hack. I think that more or less came later, if I'm not mistaken. Not much later, but it was happening around the same time. And okay, March 2014 was Hack. So, but yeah, I agree that I think that these developments were pushing PHP forward from a company that really needed PHP to perform really well and really fast. And PHP 5.6 was not performing at the level that they needed it to perform. So they built an engine or a VM that would make it perform as fast as they needed it. And at that time, my recollection is that like Zend was, I don't know if they took this as like a competitive type thing or what, but inside Zend Technologies, they started working on PHP, was it called NG, PHP NG, PHP Next Generation? And
I remember that.
Became PHP 7. And a lot of the same, a lot of the language changes that Facebook was adding for Hack then ended up making their way into PHP 7 as well. I'm trying to remember some of them off the top of my head, but I don't remember any of them.
It's been a couple of years.
I'm getting old. Yeah. But yeah, I think it was great for the language. I think that it really pushed things forward. It created a bit of competition. This was also a time where, like you mentioned, that 5.6 had been around for a while, and it just felt like the language was stagnating. This was during the time when we didn't really have a defined release process. Nowadays, we have a release process And we know that there's going to be a new version of PHP out every November. And that, you know, this year is 8.5. Next year, if there's nothing that necessitates a major version bump, we'll have 8.6 in November. We'll have 8.7 the following year and so forth. And we know that each month is a new point release because we have this defined, well-defined release cycle, and we have well-defined, you know, process for choosing release managers, except, you know, when you're really important and can buy votes.
It's a little flawed. I mean, I'm going to just put that out there. I didn't realize that there was a scheduled release. What did you say? Every October?
November. It's like
November
in America. It's Thanksgiving week. It's usually Thanksgiving Day when the release comes out.
Oh, I don't think I knew that. I you know, obviously you did see the cadence of releases become, you know, dialed in better and better. Yeah.
Back then,
it seemed like every version.
Yeah, back then released. We didn't really. I don't remember. I could be wrong, so other people can correct me on this, but I don't remember having a release cycle that well defined, and so that may have been part of what made it feel like it was stagnating in the core.
Do you think back then that it just wasn't enough people that, or nobody felt ownership? So it's just like, yeah, we're contributing where we need to, but there wasn't a group of people that said, here's how we are going to do this.
That might be the case. I mean, PHP's never had a benevolent dictator for life. It's had strong voices within the core, and a lot of people are often used to defer to Rasmus and Andy and Zev. But yeah, I think that could have been a contributing factor.
Okay. Well, okay. So we sidetracked a little bit. So the need for the license change or the proposal, I'm not sure where this is in the voting process, but the proposal for the license change was just mainly to make it easier for other people who are packaging PHP along with something else to.
Right. Yeah. So let me dive into that. So this discussion has come up off and on over the years, particularly in the Debian community. So those who don't know, I'll give a quick overview of the PHP license history. PHP 1 and 2 were both released under the GNU General Public License version 2. And then PHP 3 came out, and it was released under a combined license that was the PHP license plus GPL. So it was dual licensed. You could choose kind of how you wanted to use it. That was the PHP license for that was basically 1.0 of what we currently have as the PHP license. It didn't have a version number on it, but it was based on the Apache license, the Apache 1.0 license. Or it was pre 1.0 at that time. There were some disagreements in how PHP had chosen to use the GPL. I don't know all the details on that, but it was, you know, a big deal at the time. And so when PHP 4 came out, they chose to drop the GPL from it and just go with a PHP license only. And PHP 4 was also when the Zend engine was introduced. So it was brand new. And the Zend engine, at the time, Andy and Zev had formed Zend Technologies. And for those who don't know, Zend, Z-E-N-D, is a portmanteau of Andy and Zev's names. Anyway, they formed a company. The Zend engine came out of this. And their goal was to take the Zend engine and make it into a product that could be like a general purpose parser and could be plugged into other things. One idea where it could have been plugged into was into MySQL. And so you could then write MySQL procedures in a language that looked a lot like PHP, right? So that was one idea. That never came to pass, but that's kind of the general idea of what they were thinking about. And there could have been applications of that I'm not familiar with that were all done, you know, by Zend Technologies for clients because they work with clients and conceivably use the Zend engine apart from PHP. But Anyway, over time, so PHP came out with PHP 4 and Zend Engine and a PHP license, and Zend Engine had its own license. So I gave that backstory in the Zend Engine because it has a separate license from PHP. So we fast forward to now, and we've got, well, I don't want to fast forward yet. Maybe I should stop. I'm starting to ramble. So let me go back to Debian. So we get to Debian, and they have concerns about this license. And the reason they have concerns about the license is it has several clauses in it that don't make sense outside of PHP, in particular PHP extensions. There are a lot of extensions that use the PHP license. And so in that context, these clauses on the license don't make sense. Here's one of them. Let's see. Yeah. Products derived from this software may not be called PHP, nor may PHP appear in their name without prior written permission. You may indicate that your software works in conjunction with PHP by saying foo for PHP instead of calling it PHP foo or PHP foo. They also mention, redistributions of any form whatsoever must retain the following acknowledgement. This product includes PHP software freely available from php.net. So that this is where like the Debian packagers and Debian legal have always had issues, especially this last one I read, because a Pekkle extension doesn't include PHP software. It doesn't include PHP. And so do they have to put this notice on every piece of Debian that comes out that includes like a Pekkle extension in it? It just creates a really weird legal gray area. And they, you know, for better or worse, tend to be kind of sticklers about that. But lawyers are sticklers about anything. And I'm not saying that these guys are lawyers, but they definitely consider the legal aspects of this stuff very tightly. And the other thing is that packagers don't just distribute PHP. They will often distribute modified versions of PHP. So they will apply their own patches to PHP, and some of them will backport patches to earlier versions of PHP that are no longer supported. Think in terms of like LTS versions of Debian and Ubuntu and other distributions that are old and are so old that a newer version of PHP won't run on them, or it will, but you have to have put a lot of work into it, and it won't satisfy their LTS promise.
You can't force them to upgrade to 8.4 now.
Right, exactly.
On an LTS version of an OS, yeah.
Right, but the older version of PHP is no longer supported, so they have to still support it. And so they'll backport patches into that. So the biggest thing...
That was one of the things Zend did, right?
Zend does that too, and they still do that. Yeah. So the other big thing was, well, does that mean we can't call this PHP? Because we're distributing a product derived from PHP. I know that sounds silly. It's obviously, you know, a patch and not a, you know, modified or not a brand new product, but that's always come up as an issue. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm getting distracted here. So there's a lot of things at play here. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, the PHP license is just the three-clause BSD license with three more clauses added to it. And
so
the only entity that is able to assert those additional three clauses is basically the PHP group. And so it just makes sense kind of to fix this little weird oddity in the PHP license that's existed for ages that no other modern open source projects use, and just go with the three clause BSD license.
How did this become your cause? What made you want to take up this mantle and bring it?
Because I'm weird like that.
Thank you. I've been telling people this for a long time.
I don't know. I have always had a lot of interest in licensing discussions in open source. And it's just something I'm fascinated with. A few years back, though, and so I've been on like following like the open source initiatives license discuss list for many years, just because I like to see what people are saying about licenses. And people will propose new licenses to be open source initiative approved on that list. Anyway, in 2020, someone brought this to the attention of the PHP mailing list and asked, hey, I see on the OSI's website, the Open Source Initiative's website, that the PHP license version 3.0 is open source initiative approved, but the PHP license 3.01 is not listed on there. And we can't use it unless it's an OSI approved license. So we're not able to use it. Like, this came up in their legal, like, I'm not sure exactly what the context of it was, but they had lawyers telling them that they needed to use an OSI approved license and the PHP license was not. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I just said, hey, I'm on this license discuss mailing list. I'll be happy to message them and ask about this. So I took the PHP license through what they call the legacy approval process, which basically means it's an open source license. The intent follows the open source definition, and it's been in use by multiple projects for many years now. And so we will approve it as open source approved based on that knowledge. And so they did. But I feel like they wouldn't have approved this license as OSI approved. I'm getting all rambled up, like jumbled up there. I feel like they wouldn't have approved it if they were only looking at the content of the license. And that's because of clause 4, 5, and 6, which kind of go against the open source definition a little bit.
Interesting.
It's so crazy how, especially when you get into big business, like the roadblocks they put up. Like we're talking about Zen, you know, early 2000, it was because of Zen, the company, is why I was able to introduce PHP into my environment, because they absolutely needed an SLA. They needed to have a company, you know, need to be company supported and need to. So the fact that it was, you know, already like, again, early 2000s, like the de facto language of the web that was, you know, just starting to take off, didn't matter. You know, it didn't look at like an actual company. Right. So like the company I was working for at the time couldn't use it. It's like, that makes no sense.
So they just didn't know how to use it. They
right.
And I guess if something went wrong with it, you know, what's their backup plan, right? Or how do they fix it?
Right.
Who do they blame? Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right?
We used to say throat choke. We needed a throat mm-hmm. choke. So this has been a fantastic legal concept. I mean, we talk legalese all the time on the show, pretty much a regular thing, but let's talk like some actual coding. Do you still code?
Yeah.
Then? I mean, is it like part of your everyday life?
That is
life?
Part of my everyday life. I guess recently I've been kind of juggling like 50-50, maybe like coding and doing some architectural stuff. Recently I'm buried in like OAuth land trying to like write some tech specs. And right now, like today I had to work on a security briefing for our trust and safety team. And so, yeah, that's a lot of what I work on, but also I am leading the API team at MailChimp. And a lot of what I have to think through is strategy for the future state of the API and, you know, what's coming up next. And one of the big things, you know, what are the like big trends and APIs that we need to focus on or look at, and you know, how can we make things better for our users?
So I recently had a very interesting conversation about a topic. I'm just curious how this plays in your world. I have opinions of it, but AI, right? Obviously, you can't live in our world and not have a conversation around AI. I don't want to put you on the spot and ask if MailChimp has any official stance on AI, but do you have a stance on AI?
Well, I can say that MailChimp does have an official stance on AI. It is Intuit's official stance, and they've embraced AI, and they're, you know, making it a major part of their offerings and like their products. So they're using AI they're leveraging it in products and using it to help, you know, make products better and help make the user experiences better.
So they're embracing it as something they can put in front of a customer and approve for developer use in writing their software.
Right. Yes. So both things.
Yeah. I think I'm, you know, officially, as far as PHP Architect goes, and I'm transparent with our clients, kind of the same way, right? Like, this is a tool. This is a tool that's meant to be wielded by professionals, like people who know what they're doing. You know, I've had people reach out to me from one of these clients who said, oh yeah, I built this in, you know, I think an hour using AI. What are you guys really doing for us? I'm like, well, what do you think you really built? Like, you built, yeah, you didn't build anything here. So yeah, kind of the same stance as, like, you know, this is something that us professionals need to understand how to use and leverage it. And, you know, 100%, right? I'm definitely seeing the benefit of it. But I'm going to say, I had a really weird conversation with somebody this week, actually, on this topic, where I'm not going to say their official stance, but the directive that they got from their company. So I have heard of companies saying no AI, like, we have to own our code. And I kind of understand that stance. I get it, right? Then there are people like us that says, you can use AI. It's a tool. Use it as a tool. Like, you know, kind of where we are. Their stance was, no, you have to use, like, 70% of the code base should be AI developed. Hmm. It's like, what? Like, first thing, random number, 70%. And what?
And how do you, like, how do you prove how? That?
I don't know exactly where that's coming from. I've not ever heard any, we don't have any such mandate. I mean, my personal feeling is that I don't like it. I have some ethical concerns about its use in the industry, or at least in business, seems to worry about. Although we do have a lot of training that we go through, and there's a lot of focus on ethical use of AI, but that's not the same as the ethical concerns of AI itself. And so that's where, like, I'm feeling a lot of tension there, just personally. And I mean, a lot of it is, like, the AI models are being trained on content that it did not have permission to access. And I know what the arguments are for why they want to do that. And I also know the arguments for why they don't believe that they are infringing on copyright when a model generates output that is similar. And that's because, like, you know, in theory, that content, or not in theory, but in actuality, that content doesn't exist in the model. The model just has
tokens.
Yeah. The statistical analysis of all the tokens. And so I don't know. These are questions that we're going to have to answer. And I don't think we're going to answer them quickly, but the industry is going to move a lot quicker than we can get answers for them. And especially, like, you know, there was a certain head of a country yesterday giving a speech about AI and how we got to let these companies train their models on copyrighted material without asking for permission. And so that's, you know, that's, I have problems with that.
I don't follow the news. If you listen to the show, you know that, but I'm going to assume I know who this person is.
But yeah, so never mind. I was going to make a joke, but I think that this person promotes PHP Architect whenever they go out. They're so orange. Anyway.
One of my favorite songs used to be that I'm Proud to Be an American song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't say that's true anymore.
Nah, I'm there with you. But yeah.
Speaking of
PHP. There's Orange. Yeah.
All right. There we go.
I love that. I love the color, though, by the way. Like, I like the PHP Architect color. It's like a screaming orange almost. It's not quite screaming. It's almost there.
Eric and I are golfing on Monday. And so I got us golf shirts and got the logo on it.
Oh, cool.
I wore the shirt out in front of my wife yesterday for the first time. And she just looked at me like, wow, what? She's like, it's okay in small doses. It's good for the golf tournament. Maybe you should stay there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you want something that's bright out there, right?
You got to get people's attention.
You should see, I mean, my office now, I have an orange chair and an elephant rug, and I've got orange. The wife hooks me up with speaking of the wife, Ramsey, why is my wife walking around with your sticker logo on her phone or in her phone? Oh. Like, she doesn't even have the PHP Architect sticker in her phone. And I look these over, stickers. I'm like, what is that? What? Yeah, that one. That's the bastard I see every morning.
Oh, look, that's interesting. Yeah. The leaves are green, but because I have a green screen, it has the background.
Oh, it's going through. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was funny because I did not realize where it came from. And like a month or so after tech, I'm like, what's that sticker you have on your phone? And she's like, and she looks at it because I could, you can see it's an elephant. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's Ben Ramsey's, I forget how she described it, not company, but like project. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. That's,
I said, you need to remove that from your phone immediately. Yeah, no, it's still there. It is still there, my friend. What is
this? So it's the logo for this little project that I created called Rest Certain, which is like based on a Java library called Rest Assured, and it's a library for testing REST APIs. And if you scroll down, you'll see the logo. That's why I posted it. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little sleepy. Because he's resting.
He's resting. Yeah. And the little snot bubble thing is like the anime, like tired character thing, manga anime thing. Oh, that's where that comes from. So I decided to use that.
So to be clear, he's not dry humping a ball. Okay.
No, he's sleeping on the globe. He's resting.
Gotcha.
He's dry humping a ball. Yep, that's what I'm going around handing out stickers of an elephant dry humping a ball. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I gotta do my smearing where I can smear.
My goodness,
Ramsey, you make it difficult.
The places Eric's mind goes.
Okay, cool, man. I don't know anything else you guys want to discuss.
Oh. You talked about potentially talking about our business, PHP Architect.
We have a new team.
Yeah. I mean, we posted it in Discord
tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, you did? Did he?
I did when he posted on X and then I shared it. But technically starting on Monday, Chris Miller has joined our team and we'll be doing web development with us, which is fantastic. We are continuing to grow slowly. You know, we're not out drumming up business constantly, but when we get business, we like it.
Really happy to have Chris. Has been contributing to the magazine for a while. He's very passionate about writing for the magazine, which is weird, Ben, because I don't remember you ever writing for us. But I'm sure you
meet a horrible author. I do.
You're writing tech specs at work, so you can write.
Yeah, exactly, man.
I pour all of my energy into that.
So yeah, real happy. And the reason why we were able to bring him in, again, thanks to the PHP community, we have a new client starting on Monday as well. Curiosity Stream, which is a huge PHP shop. They reached out to us, and actually Andy, who works there, was a speaker at Tech and Cassell, and started having some back and forth with him back in May, and we finally got to the point where it's like, okay, let's move forward, and
super now we got to step up and try and prove something.
I know, like it's very nerve wracking to have somebody like that well established in the PHP community be a client. It's like we can't bullshit our way through this one. Like they know all the ins and outs already. I can't like impress them with the words that they say.
And somebody, yeah, and somebody who's taught us so much, or at least, you know, I've been to so many of his talks and learned so much throughout the years. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's just like casually smart, you know. It's like he doesn't like try to wow you with an explosion of knowledge. He just kind of continually like has steady knowledge. I really like talking to him, and was really excited. I actually had a meeting with him this week of just kind of doing like a pregame before, you know, before we started working, trying to get everybody's accounts created and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, he's like so nonchalantly with some of the stuff that he knows. It's like, all right. It also makes it easier for us, right? Because we don't have to sell them on this stuff. Like they understand the pluses and minuses of development, and it makes it so that we can just do our job. And I'm really excited. Chris, there's a lot riding on you, man. Don't screw this up. You're pissed me off, man. And the other cool thing about Chris is our official second UK developer. So one more UK developer, and I think we have to establish a branch in the UK, a PHP architect branch.
He keeps saying that. I don't know where he got that number from.
Is that like a legal thing?
Because I'm one of the owners of the company, and that's the number I decided on, John.
I'm going to let you do the paperwork this time. All the fun stuff.
So congratulations, Chris. Welcome to the team. Andy, happy to have you as part of the PHP Architect family.
All right. Eric, at the beginning of the show, you said you had a question for Discord. You failed to ask the question. I have a separate question that I'm going to shock you with, but I'm going to ask Discord. PHP Tech 2026 is going to be in May 19th through the 21st. PHP Tech 2027 is unknown at this point. We are considering San Diego and would like your input. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
San Diego, yes.
You're just going to put
San Diego, no.
Straight out.
I told you I was going to shock you with it. I want your feedback in Discord. If you like the idea of having PHP Tech in San Diego 2027, let me know.
Would you be more or less inclined to come to PHP Tech if it was in San Diego?
I'm going to go wherever it is, but I think San Diego sounds great to me.
Well, Wave PHP didn't sound great to you, so what the hell, Ben? Oh, you thought I forgot about that? You didn't think I would bring that up?
Yeah. I've never been to San Diego.
Oh, you've got to come out here, man. Yeah, it's... I have to say, honestly, like the first... I think the first 10 years... Beck and I moved out here. We didn't leave. Like, we would go back home to visit family, but like, there were no vacations anywhere. We might go up to LA, like Southern California, basically, right? Like, once you hit Southern California, there's so much to do here. It's ridiculous. If you can afford to live here, that's the caveat now. But yeah, it's hard thinking because we seriously considered moving. Matter of fact, I think I talked to you. We were looking at Nashville, Memphis. actually Johnson, which is right between Nashville and Memphis. We were looking at Tennessee, Texas. We were all but sold on Tennessee or Texas, and then the pandemic hit.
Do you mean Jackson?
Crazy things happened.
Do you mean Jackson?
Huh? Johnson.
Okay.
I thought it was Johnson because my last name being Johnson. I'm like, oh, that would be, you know, that would make a lot of sense if we moved there.
It's probably Jackson. I mean,
well, there's a Johnson City, Tennessee, but it's way on the other side.
Johnson City. That's okay. What it was. Yeah. It's between Memphis and
no, that's Nashville, not Johnson right? City. Jackson's between Johnson City is like over on the border of Virginia.
That okay then? That was not what we were looking for. What
current wife says Johnson City.
Yeah. Okay.
But whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was Johnson City. I thought it was between Nashville and Memphis for some reason. I don't know why. So, I'm not seeing it there now.
So there's one thing. There's one positive of the pandemic. You stayed here.
We did stay in Southern California. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you gotta get out of here. Maybe 2027 would be that time. And not official, obviously.
Lots of research to be done.
We actually had the conversation with the venue because they wanted to lock us in for 2027. And we just basically said, you know what? I think we're going to hold off on
in
that.
In Chicago. Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. They wanted to lock us in for 2027. We're like, I think we're going to hold off. We're going to, I mean, we felt if nothing else, it was time to do some due diligence to look at other areas to see if we wanted to continue to be in Chicago or not. So yeah, I gotta make it out. I got a friend coming out the week after Lair. So next week is Laricon. The week after I got a friend coming out staying with us. So you're always, I'm sure you ever want to come out and visit, then John would be more than happy to put you out.
I don't have an East Wing in my house.
I offered to you, right? When you were doing some job searching, and I'm like, God, you know, come on out and stay. And because a couple of the places you
I remember that. Yeah.
Out here.
Apple was hiring in San Diego for a PHP developer. That was what was interesting. Yeah. But ultimately,
It was crazy because my kid, she just moved from there, but she lived right around the corner from there. Because when you were telling me that, I'm like, I don't even know where the Apple campus is. I knew the area. It was over there by UTC, John, just so you know. I knew where the Microsoft campus was there, but I didn't know there was an Apple campus. And then I'm helping my kid move and driving up the road. I'm like, Jesus Christ, there's the Apple campus right there. Like, she lived around the corner from it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Had no clue it was there.
All right. I think that's it, Ben. I appreciate you joining us. It was fun. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. It's been fun.
Yeah, no big deal. And like I said, you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know, we'll probably do this. It's not going to be like a planned thing. Oh, I will tease. We're working on the concepts of another podcast. Not John and I. A couple other PHP architect people are working on the concepts of another podcast that I think we're going to add to the stream. So that's going to be fun. I'm going to hold off on that a little bit.
Oh, never mind. I might know a little bit about it. I heard someone suggesting an idea for a podcast, for PHP Architect, but I'll hold off saying anything about it too.
You can say it. I don't care if somebody else spoils it.
The idea was like the PHP Architect Lower Decks. It's like the other people on PHP Architect's team to do a podcast or something.
I've not heard that. Who was talking about that one? Was that Joe that said that?
I think it might have been Sarah.
It might have been Sarah? Yeah. Lower Decks, that actually would have been that actually. I still like that idea. That's not the idea.
Apparently now it is.
I like that idea. The problem is like not everybody is like as like willing to talk in public as John and I. I mean, that was always the joke. Even way back when we had PHP Ugly, I never wanted to do the podcast. I just wanted to like produce it. I never wanted to be a part of it. So It was just really hard to find somebody who wanted to do it.
It might have been A. Woods, though, too. It
could have been A. Woods. Okay. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, I like that idea. I'm not giving up on
that. And we might steal it.
Yeah. I'm not giving up on that one. But yeah, no, this is another one, and yeah, it's some PHP architect peeps, but we're still working through some details on it. But I think they're going to get working on it soon. Like they already have, like they've been discussing it amongst themselves for a while, and so they kind of have an idea. Maybe we'll loop you in on that one as well, Ben. We'll see.
Cool.
See how it goes. We'll see how well this podcast. Rates.
Before we end, are we skipping next week? I think we have to.
Right? Oh, we have. Yeah. I mean, we could say we will try. But the reality is that we will not try.
No.
Will y'all be at Laracon?
Yeah. Well, I'll be on a plane not next week, flying home right at this
time. Oh, you're leaving Thursday. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, we're skipping next week. So, you get a little bonus material this week with the three of us. So, yeah. So, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. And that's going to be it. We don't have any big sign off anymore, Ben. Nope. So,
we don't.
I'm going to say bye to everybody. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.